time, energy, and true identity. Thank you, Brandon. That's really kind of wraps it up. You're the one that I'd like to go through life with. We sometimes don't realize that there's a lot of secular music that was written with a Christian background or by Christian people, and sometimes you don't think about that. And we look at it and we say, well, how could you play that in church? How could you not? I think it's great. So thank you. I've been trying to tie a bit of humor into a message each Sunday morning, and sometimes it works better than it does other times, and today has absolutely nothing to do with the message. But I read it and I thought this was really funny. So one day there were three avid golfers out playing a round of golf, and they were on the ninth, Doug will appreciate this, they were on the ninth hole getting ready to tee off. One of the golfers had his club in mid-swing and he was getting ready to hit the ball. And then all of a sudden he lowered his head and took off his cap. And he stood reverently waiting for a funeral procession to pass by. When the last car was out of sight, the driver went ahead and hit the ball down the fairway, one of the best shots that he'd ever hit, right down the middle. One of the golfers said to him, he said, you know, Jack, that was really a nice shot. He said, but why did you wait for the funeral procession to pass? He said, after all, I felt that's all I could do. She gave me the 30 best years of her life. Now, I'm sure there's something tied into destiny somewhere there, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. My destiny was never playing golf. I bought clubs to avoid going on, when I was working, going on field trips when we went to managers' meetings because we had to do something. And you can only hang around with the same people about one time and then you'd rather just take up golf. So I took up golf and I never got good at it. But I got smart enough to know that I need to get rid of these clubs. And so I gave them away. Jeremiah wrote, for I know I have the plans, and Debbie shared it, Nancy read it, said, I have plans for you, I have thoughts for you. He said, they are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. How can we have a future without hope? Because our future doesn't end the day we leave this earth, spiritually or physically. Really, physically, we never leave it. We just quit walking and go into a box in the ground. Differentiating from who we are to what we are to be is critical for all of our well-being. What does God have in plan for me? I'm certain that we see people on TV and we think, man, they must have it great. I see a comedian and I think he's funny all the time, but they're not funny all the time. We see actors and think that, do they act out life the way they act out on TV? When we lived in St. Louis, I had an opportunity to meet several people. I met Bob Gibson, Jack Buck, a couple wide receivers for the football Cardinals when the Cardinals football team was there, Pat Tilley and Roy Green. Met a boxer by the name of Ray Boom Boom Mancini from Cleveland, or the Cleveland area. And I thought, these people have a gift to play baseball. And it's something that they enjoy doing, but they aren't the gift. The body's not the gift. It's what they did with it. And so I thought, I wonder if these guys are the same way they are everywhere else. Because Jack Buck said, Larry, is there anything you want to know about the Cardinals? Like, you know, Earl and I would be talking about anything. Just the way he was. And I'm thinking, well, he probably is. And then I was sitting at dinner next to Pat Tilly one day when he was with the Cardinals, and I said, what's wrong with the football Cardinals? Because they were terrible. Ownership. And I think he was probably right, because I met the owner of the Cardinals who was eating ice cream, scooping it in, and wouldn't shake hands with me. That's not a big deal. I mean, I was probably nobody to him other than somebody that oversaw 150 agents that sponsored his football team. Probably no big deal to him. But people give their gifts for a reason. Some people do it for public display. Some people because God has called them to do it. If you're gifted, people will seek you out. If you're a good listener, people will seek you out. If you give wise advice, people will seek you out. And that can make us feel worthy, but is that our gift? Is that our destiny? What really is our destiny? I received numerous calls from Dan and Gayla Young down at the funeral home to do funerals for people that have no church background. And in fact, two of them this year were families from Catholic backgrounds. And I hope I do not have a gift for doing funerals, because that would not be the gift that I would want. But I think I do have a gift of caring for people. It's not about what you do, but it's who you are. Oral Roberts had a tremendous gift for healing. Now, some people may believe in him and some people may not, but when Cindy and I moved to Tulsa in 1980, Oral Roberts was building this hospital down there, and it was a magnificent structure south of Oral Roberts University. And as much good that Oral Roberts did, there were people there fighting the accreditation of his hospital. And I often wondered why, and I finally come to the realization that he was dipping into their pockets with his healing ministry. Because if somebody gets healed, they don't need to see the doctor. They don't need to go there. Most people will never know who we are. Will never know us completely, will never know who we are down deep inside. Which is probably just well, because most people really only care about what they can get out of us. What we can do for them, how we can benefit their lives, what we can do for them. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. We've had four families call this week needing help. Anywhere from electric bill, their electric's been shut off, needing $520, to somebody that's $320 in arrears on their electric bill. And we do what we can to help them. And we give them food, we give them money. And interestingly enough, someone gave me a check Thursday evening to cover the amount of the money that we had given those four families. What is that? That's someone listening to God and seeing maybe part of my destiny is being able to help here, being able to do something. I'm here standing before you today because I believe this is part of my destiny. I believe that God wants me here. We are investing personally, spiritually, financially, emotionally, with each and every person here. Now, will my destiny end here sometime? I have no idea. Each year, Brenda and I get a form from the district superintendent. That's too many pages and too many questions that they ask about me. She fills the same form out, and I fill the same form out. Hers is always much more gracious than mine. But that's part of what destiny becomes. We also meet once a year on a one-on-one with the district superintendent. And what they want to talk about this year is, what are you doing? What are you doing to build the kingdom of God? They want to talk about your future. What kind of new ministries are going on at the church where you're at? What are you considering doing? And the bottom line is, how are things really going? I don't have a difficult time answering that question, any of those questions. But for some people, it becomes a struggle because they're not sure what their destiny is, nor are they sure where their destiny's taken them. We need to make decisions about where we're stepping and where we're going. It's pretty easy when you live in a one-story house, because everything's on that one level. We had that at one time, not too long ago. And everything's there. It's not a big deal. But now I got to go upstairs to go to bed. Or I got to go upstairs because I got an office up there, and so sometimes I'll work on a sermon or do stuff there. And so I got to go upstairs to do that. So I have to start climbing stairs. It's kind of the same way of finding our destiny. It doesn't get difficult until we start climbing those stairs and we start investing in ourselves, and we start investing in our service to really try to figure out where we are and where we're going and what I'm doing. There has to be an investment in what we want to do. There has to be an investment in our energy. Am I energized to do this? Am I excited about doing this, or am I just dragging along because I think it's a thing to do? I used to climb stairs in our old house sometimes two at a time. Guess how many it is now? It's going up one and down one. Because I found out that there has to be a balance. There is absolutely no way I'm taking two steps anymore. Now, I also learned something about, we're going to talk about Romans 7:14 next week. I'm going to kind of tie that into the message. But, bless you. But I have, and I said Thursday evening, that if we're going to apply what Romans 17 says, that I see things not as they are, but as they will be, if you ask me today if my knee hurts, I'm going to tell you no. If you ask me anything, you're not going to hear anything negative. Because when we sow seeds of negative words, we're sowing seeds of negativity. And so is that part of our destiny, to be negative? Is that part of our destiny to be positive? Sometimes we face rejection in things that we do, whether we like it or not, and it's not anything that we want, and it's not anything that's our choice. But sometimes we're turned down. Sometimes we're turned away. And sometimes we're just flat out turned off by things that go on. But the fact of the matter is that if we don't give up, we'll ultimately reach that destiny that God has for us. But quitting will ensure that we miss that goal and we miss our destiny. We have challenges, but we've got to maintain that goal and maintain that drive to get us toward that objective. Quitting's not an option. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. Have you quit anything? Yeah, I have. And I probably shouldn't have. Should have dug my heels in. Should have kept my eyes on the journey that was ahead, but it didn't happen. I know that sometimes the trek gets tough. And sometimes we fight for what we're going through, and sometimes we think, is this really what God's appointed destiny is for me? When we face the storms, we face the struggles, we face the battles as we are in that quest to reach it and in that quest to find it. But those things are what makes us stronger. And as we fulfill it, we'll find out that those things that are worth fighting for are what makes the whole journey worthwhile. And when we look back and we realize that I have accomplished something that I didn't think I could ever accomplish, there's satisfaction there, and so we build on that. And I thought about, do we ever grow weary in this destiny of this walk and, you know, and going this way? And the illustration that I read this week really kind of brought it to, you know, to face to face with me. I mentioned Ray Boom Boom Mancini, who was a boxer. And I thought, well, fighters fight, what, 3 rounds? What is it, 3 minutes, I think? 3 minute rounds. And then what do? They go over and sit down in a corner and somebody throws water on them. Somebody gets some kind of grease out and covers up all the cuts. And they take a rest. They sit down there and they're listening to their manager saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't do this. They're setting up a new strategy. Sometimes they make a change. But what they find out is that the storm's going to pass. And you can celebrate the victory and you celebrate that passing. One of the things that I thought about, you know, we talk about creation and we read it every once in a while in Genesis and we talk about it. And if God can create man, if God can create the universe, if he can grow our faith from something the size of a mustard seed, if he can heal people, if he can help people financially, if he can touch people's lives by bringing them safely back with a bunch of youth on a trip, did that just happen? I don't think so. That's part of destiny. That's part of God leading us. I know some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And you may know some. I wasn't. Mine wasn't even rusted. I didn't even have a spoon. And when we stop and think about that, some people get all the breaks in life. And you know them. There's some people that's a great illustration, but I won't use it. There are some people, if you know what I'm saying, that everything that happens to them is good. And then there are the other people in life that what? They have to make the breaks for themselves. Those are the people that have accomplished something. And those are the people when we look at something and it really requires fortitude and it requires inner strength. And when we do that, we really find out that, hey, I'm a pretty unique person. In a way, I'm kind of fascinating because that's what God has brought me to and through. He doesn't just bring us to it. I shared this in a funeral this week, Psalm 23, that we walk through the shadow of the valley of death. I've shared it with you before. We don't stay and build a house, try to find the general store and go buy groceries or the IGA. We don't go to Kohl's in the valley to buy something. We're passing through. We're trying to get through it. So it requires determination. Think about what the world would be without you. What would the world be without me? We've all had those thoughts, I'm sure. And if you think it would be better off without you, you're wrong. And one of the things I shared this week in this funeral for this 82-year-old lady. And it's interesting. I love people's honesty and sincerity, but I met with them on Monday. The funeral was Tuesday. I met with them, and she says, how do you do a funeral? I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty laid back. And I said, the way I do a funeral is, to me, it's a celebration of life. And she said, well, I've been to funerals where they try to save everybody. And I said, if you're not saved at this point. And I just left it at that. But that's what becomes our destiny. And so talking further with them, I said, tell me a little bit about your mom. And they give me this whole, you know, great big list of stuff. And so I make a message out of it. And they said, she had such an impact on people. and such an impact on other people. And I thought, how often do we think about that? You know, we look at people and say, well, man, you know, they really helped me with this. Or I had, you know, they did something in my life that helped me see something. But do we ever stop and think, what's been my impact on somebody else? Not necessarily your children, but that's important. Because if we don't have an impact on our children, nobody will. Or the wrong people will. I saw and thought about, you know, the some people of destiny. When you stop and think about it, and when I was lived in Missouri, there was a college in Fulton, Missouri that put up a memorial for Winston Churchill. But Winston Churchill lived out his destiny. We may not agree with everything that presidents do, but we can't disagree that Jimmy Carter was one of the most honorable men that has ever served in that position. I had an opportunity to meet him one day. He was on a riverboat cruise down the Mississippi and stopped in Hannibal. And I met him. Nice guy, really nice guy, very cordial. Do I think he was a good president? That's not the point. The point is, he's still trying to fulfill his destiny because he's still working for Habitat for Humanity. Martin Luther King had a destiny. Martin Luther King was a tremendous leader in the black movement. Tremendous leader. Did some wonderful things. And when he was killed, there's been no one to step up and fill his shoes. There's been some frauds, and I'll tell you later who I think they are, but there have been some frauds of people that tried to step up and take that. Heard a story about a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick. You may have heard about her. She was a champion swimmer who in 1952 decided she was going to swim from Catalina to the coast, the Pacific coast in California. And so she trained and she trained and she trained, and this is what she thought her destiny was. And so she gets in the water. Several boats are around her to protect her from the shark-infested waters. And if she got tired, they could take her out, or if she got hurt. And so she had swam this 26-mile course, and she'd been swimming for about 15 hours. And she finally was exhausted and decided to swim one more hour, which she did. And at that point, she was just beat. She couldn't swim anymore, and she asked for help to get into the boat. She got into the boat and realized she was 1 mile away from her destiny. So what'd she do? She practiced some more. Went about doing it again, and the next time when she did it, she made it from Catalina to the Pacific coast because she kept her destination in view. So that's what we really need to do. We need to keep our destiny in sight. It doesn't make any difference if the storms that we face are physical storms, if they're emotional storms, if they're financial storms, if they're relational storms, if they're vocational storms. It doesn't make any difference the destiny that God has laid out for us, because he said, I know I have plans for you, and I know my thoughts that are to bring you what? Good, not evil. And I'm tacking on this whole idea of Romans 7:14. And somebody is going to sit out there and say, this guy's a heretic. But he really isn't. Because that's what the Bible says, that we see things not as they are, but as they will be. Some of the toughest storms that we face are storms that we can't see. We have no idea what they are. We just know that they're battles. And so the question is, are we steering our life on what we believe? Are we steering it in the faith realm? Are we captivated by that simple phrase, I will walk in faith? Because that's all we have to walk in. Jeremiah said what God said to him. He said, I am He said to him, "For I know the thoughts, the plans, the intentions that I am thinking toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." We can't waste our time missing our destiny. There was a young girl by the name of Ruby Bridges. Ruby Bridges was a six-year-old little girl, African-American little girl in New Orleans. She had lived on this earth about 2,200 days when she decided that she was going to walk to a white school in New Orleans. Little did she know that God had ordained that for her. But she walked that path and integrated the elementary school as she attended in New Orleans. Anne Frank wrote a diary. Anne Frank lived on this earth approximately a little over 5,500 days. And she wrote a diary about her isolation and captivity during World War II and the Germans' control of where she was. And yet she wrote that book, and that became her destiny, to share that with people. I mentioned Martin Luther King. He lived 14,300 days. And our lives are a series of day after day after day. And so the decision that we make today will affect us tomorrow. The decision that we make tomorrow is going to affect our future. But we need to make decisions based on, I will walk in faith. I know the plans that I have for you. I know my thoughts. I know your thoughts. They're for good and not evil. And we need to see things as they will be, not as they are. Because if you see them as they are, sometimes you got to look up to see the gutter. And that's not what God's plan is for us, because he said it is a plan for a future and hope. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks, Father, for the words of hope, the words of promise that you give to us. And so, Lord, help us to walk in faith, realizing that you have established your plan in our lives, and your thoughts are thoughts for our future and our hope. Because things are not as we see them, but through faith they will be as we desire you have for us. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for each and every person here. I pray your blessing on them of peace, joy, comfort, blessings of financial blessings that relationships have never and will never be any better than what you have for us, because that's your plan. That vocations change because we're open to you, and that we understand that what you have for us is that walk of faith. In your name we pray. Amen.